So I can't help but notice, DH, that there's a newish patch sitting on the faux oak table in the Bingham. And it's says Go Ruck, Ruck Club Battle.
Yeah.
And this is something I didn't know about that was happening. Although now that you pointed out to me, it was all over social media. It's my failing.
I don't actually know if it was your failing.
Well, I should have noticed it, but I was a little surprised to hear that the queue of all ruckership, which is Winnebago, was a no-show.
I mean, he made a big deal about getting it here and harassing HQ sure, to get it here sure, and all that kind of stuff.
Sure.
And then last minute,
some stalwarts from Charlotte Metro. What did? Who's it? Ruckership.
He's a rucker man.
Was a no-show. So sadly, yeah. But. There were some heroes who did appear.
There were some heroes.
Geraldo
was there.
Hoover.
He was on my team. Hoover.
Matt, who is unfortunately named Alfred E. Newman.
Yeah, poor guy.
I mean, jokesters.
Right? You don't name a guy that. And then another guy who was not an F3 guy. Josh.
We have no use for them. So how many packs posted total to this Ruck Club battle?
How many? There were probably 26, 27 people.
All right. People.
People.
And where did it start?
It began in Fraser Park and ended in Fraser Park, which is over off of off 4th Street.
And you just kind of rucked it up.
We rucked it up. They did all kinds of different events. Everything from, you know, kind of team events of like, hey, you got to get over this obstacle. Everybody has to get over the obstacle.
Yeah,
all the rucks have to get over the obstacle.
Yeah.
But one person is not allowed to touch the obstacle in any way.
Sure.
You know, so there were some cool...
challenges.
Yeah, some team challenges.
And this was all took place in Lower McDougal.
No, this was all uptown here.
Fraser Park, I don't have a clue where that is.
Neither do we.
Unpack it for me.
Yeah, neither do we. If you know where Charlotte Rescue Mission is, where we hold our Mission Impossible on Saturdays, it's right near there.
Okay, good. Yeah. And did was this a Go Ruck event?
It was an official Go Ruck event.
And who showed up for the Go Ruck? Cadre, anybody you know?
It was Cadre Heath. I'm not...
Heath. Oh, yeah. I wish I knew that.
Right? I mean, good guy.
No, Heath is... he's the one who, we actually have a lexicon term that came from Heath.
Is that right?
Because Heath likes to say, I'm not going to use any vulgarity. And Heath, I think if he does, he does it in good with good nature. But he says, effing badass, effing B-A.
Yeah.
So I think we have that in lexicon.
I'll believe
FBA
that.
FBA is what we have in lexicon. Yeah. I noticed the committee put that on there based on Cadre Heath. I think he might have had the second or third Grow Ruck?
Could be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't there, but yeah.
The shortest fellow with gray hair? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good guy.
He's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
He's a lot of fun. High energy guy.
Total high energy guy.
Yeah.
And just a delight to be around.
I liked it.
So, how long did this challenge take?
So, I started at 7 this morning, so it was roughly 6-ish, 6.5-ish.
You don't look any worse for wear, although I have to say...
Go ahead.
Your coif...
It's not quite there.
It's as disheveled as I've ever seen it.
We got rained on, you know?
Yeah, it was a little wet here in Upper McDougal this morning. I noticed that.
So...
Okay. Well, good. That's great. Good for you.
It was fun. So, there was a ruck club out of Forest City. They call themselves the 828 Alpha.
828 Alpha.
Yeah, they're not F3 guys, but they were a ruck club.
Okay.
And then we had some other civilians who
odds
came
and
who participated.
I wish you mentioned to me, I would have done it with you.
I see, and that's Geraldo was like, you should have had Dreadcom, and I was like, you know what?
I'd have been happy to, but
next time.
I think you may have had your own reasons for not wanting me there, and I don't resent that.
I had no reasons.
Okay.
This is literally what happened, Dread. Winnebago pinged me on Twitter and said, hey man, we're gonna do this.
And then
I was
didn't
like,
come.
Sounds fantastic.
Yeah.
Sign me up. So I signed up and then I kind of forgot about it.
Right.
Until like, I don't know, 3-4 days ago. And I was like, oh.
And Bago forgot about it too because he was a no show.
Allegedly, there were maybe some children, like soccer gamey kinds of things or something like
that.
Yeah,
it's raining out today. Yeah, that's not even true. Okay.
See, I don't know. I'm just
but,
telling you.
That's okay.
It's all good.
That's all right.
All
we'll
good.
Find out. All right. So that I guess that suffices as our self-effacing parenthetical.
It's going to have to do.
All right. So let's have the intro.
You're listening to 43 Feet, a podcast about leadership. We believe that real leading happens out front, but that means you're probably building the next 43 feet of good road for those behind you while you're running the race yourself. My name is Frank Schwartz, known in the gloom of the early morning as Dark Helmet to my F3 brothers, and I'm joined each week by Dave Redding, or Dredd, one of the co-founders of F3 Nation. We're going to answer your questions, pontificate wildly, teach leadership, and otherwise attempt to help you navigate the next 43 feet.
Here we go.
And
we're back.
And we're back.
All right. Do you have a regional shout out?
Oh my goodness. Hey, you know who I'd like to give a regional shout out to?
That's why I asked. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead, DH.
Oh man. It's going to be one of those days.
No, it's every day. DH, go ahead.
Every day I wake up is one of those days.
Yeah,
you know, my favorite comment on Twitter so far this week.
No one gets more grief than you.
Was, you have something. I can't remember who said it. Something about I recognized it was you just by flipping past your hair and the.
Yeah, right.
Oh man, I want to give a regional shout out to Columbia.
Wow, been a long time since the Screen Door got a regional shout out.
Right,
so great.
6 years.
Amazing.
6 years.
Amazing.
And the way that they characterized it on the Nantan call yesterday is they said, hey, man, we're celebrating our 6 years of being the guys that Dredd said it wouldn't work.
There's no way. I'm shocked it's still even alive. Now, Lexington, those guys got it going on. But the Screen Door, I didn't see it.
You never know. But 6 years.
6 years.
And so,
it's a lot of lizard thicket, cream beef, and biscuits right there.
Oh, my goodness. That is a sodium intake that no man should entertain. But the thing that I love about Columbia, other than being one of the first, truly kind of concentric launch, where they invented it.
It's why we call it the cola
method.
They invented it. Shout out to Sway. I know this is the regional shout out.
Just
a quick
yeoman.
Shout out to a true yeoman.
Yeah.
Sway was the guy who came up with it, and I can remember he had this map of the state of South Carolina such as it is and had put pens in it or something to figure out where to go, and he did a great job of that. It was like Nikki Haley finding out where the voters are. It was great. It's awesome.
It's like, we're going to gerrymander this here like this.
We don't use the G word here.
Oh yeah. Okay.
43
okay.
Because we're not political, but
right.
I get the analogy though.
Yeah. Yeah. But so not only are they the first guys that worked.
Sure.
Right?
The inventors of it.
Right?
Yeah.
But the other thing, that model has obviously spread. That is the model.
That is one of the models. But it is ultimately the model
that we've had the most success with.
Leap is, Crotch Rocket's working himself out of a job.
He'll run out of.
Yeah, hopefully, when we have planted everywhere that is plantable, then after that, it's all cola. We'll continue to incentivize that and help. I join you here. I didn't know that. I knew Greensboro was having a 4-year anniversary because I happened to be up in Greensboro a couple of nights ago,
yep.
And saw the folks up there. But I did not know that cola was having its six
years,
and that's awesome.
And you look at all the good things that have come out of cola. And again, I'm not trying to belabor the point or anything,
bad
but
thanks too.
Well, Chaser doesn't count as a
Chaser,
bad thing.
Hashtag K4.
But you look at all the things like our disaster ops model.
Yeah.
Right? Those guys really kind of pioneered that too.
That's right.
There's so many things that have come reverse flowed out of cola.
Right? Cola has picked up on a lot of things and started it, and to seeing other people pick it up and maybe do it a little better, like Gamecock football, for instance.
Sure, as an example.
Feel free to erase that, delete that when you go and do this, because I don't want my idiot personality to detract from what is really a justified regional shout out.
Agreed.
Way to go. T-claps to you.
T-claps.
Cola, keep doing what you're doing. I like what you're trying to do.
All
right. How about a tap?
So, there's any number of people that we could
each and every week tap. Sure.
I think it's still very worthy of bringing up. We've had some individual guys. There's always guys with individual challenges and things like that. I don't want to take it off the table just yet to reach out or to give a tap to the coast still. Right to the
all
the guys
already
that are cleaning
that
up. I know, but I'm telling you, it's a different hurricane.
Oh, you know what? That's a really good point.
So I want to keep our thoughts and prayers there because there are so many people that are still hurting. And
well,
still
you're the queue of tap, so I'm going to follow your lead.
The tap queue.
You're the tap queue. but I'm with you. I mean, it's gosh, it's really crazy the weather those poor guys have had out there. Yeah. And I noticed that that this morning Cape Fear, you know, was doing a workout and then they're going right out.
Right, and they're going right out and doing it.
Helping folks. And the fact that we now have a disaster recovery queue is just a great thing.
It is. It is. So.
And I was talking to Crotch Rocket about this very thing last night, and he was telling me how amazing it was that, you know, from our end of it, we didn't have to do anything. Just make a couple suggestions. And
right.
It just happened, so.
Sua sponte.
Sua sponte, baby. RFI, reverse long incubator.
Yeah, it's the way it ought to work.
All right, man. All right, you got a mixed egg for us today?
Do you have one?
Yeah, I do have one, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
It's one that I've heard a lot, and I happen to hear it on Friday, yesterday.
Okay.
Because today's Saturday. We usually do this earlier in the week, but out there to the podcast listening audience, Dark Helmet, with his incredible flexibility and generosity of spirit, agreed to do this on Saturday and take time out of his Saturday, which for him is a lot bigger deal than me because my kids are older and kind of self-sufficient now, and he's still kind of in the you know, in the mix a lot more than I am. So today is Saturday. So yesterday, by invitation of Apache, I went down to Lower McDougal, across the river,
across
as
the
they
river.
Say in York County.
They
in
like Lower to make McDougal. Sure that it's delineated that
right.
way.
And they have a Q-Source group down there. It does a workout in a dark industrial park. It was very,
really?
I don't know, Soylent Green or something. But yeah, so.
It's people.
No, it was fine. Yeah, it was fine. It was made of people. So we did that. And then it was Pizza Man, who happened to be from Gastonia.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how that worked. Pizza Man approached me and said, you know, is there, how do we get this Q-Source kind of idea moving? Is there any help for that? And that's actually a mixed egg that I've seen a lot of lately. So I thought I'd just address that.
I think we should.
So here's just a couple things about where that's going. A lot of folks out there may realize that the Q-Source is a body of leadership principles. There's 50 of them, what we call Q-Points, and that we've kind of been compiling over the years, really since F3 started, and they've morphed and changed a little bit. We got it down about 50. So it's 50. So it gives you more or less one a week. And they've been written and rewritten over the last few years. And what's on the website right now is you could find that you could find them all in one form or another. But, you know, we're going back through them and making sure they're right. This week, for instance, is failure. That's very close to the end. In fact, there's only a couple left before it gets done. I think we're going to end up somewhere around mid-November. Last one being lizard building.
To have all of the...
all 50 out there.
Have them all written and...
Have them all written and out there. And at that point, we're putting it together into one book, which Dark Helmet has graciously volunteered to shepherd through the self-publishing system of F3.
Aye.
So that will then appear. We have some kind of editorial stuff we want to do. Make sure that there's the minimum amount of absolute idiocy in there. But once that gets done, and we'll finally have this 3 or 4 year project done, and what we're going to do is take a hiatus for a few weeks, get that book done, not a hiatus from 43, but a hiatus from the Q-Source's weekly posting of a Q-Point. We'll pick that back up on January 1st of 2019, with the first Q, which is Q point, which is disruption. And
F1.
And from that point, I believe it's not going to change, only in very small ways.
Yeah.
Really
nudges.
Editing.
Nudges, but not fundamentally.
And shortly after that, subject to the heavy lifting that Dark Helmet has to do, the Q Source book will be available.
And essentially what that will look like for those listening is, well, not physically look like, but essentially what it's going to be is it's kind of like a manual for how to be a high-impact man.
That's pretty much what it is. I think the working subtitle right now is F3's Field Manual of Virtuous Leadership.
Yeah.
And it will encompass all four quadrants that we've been talking about over time and organize those in a way that would help someone start a Q-Source group. In fact, that's the point of it.
Right,
and that goes back to the original mixed egg that we got to, which is if you want to start a Q-Source group, Pizza Man or the several other guys who have asked me about that, probably the ideal time to do it is going to be 1/1/19.
Yeah.
That's when we're going to start over. We're not going to change it after that. We won't have the book out by then, obviously, because that's too quick.
Yeah.
But the book will be
Well, enough of the material will be there that you could easily
begin. That's right. You can easily
down
begin.
The course for sure.
And you can touch base with Dark Helmet on that, or go directly to the Q source himself, which is Stinger.
Yep.
And I think he's just F3 Stinger, right? Stinger F3.
Yep.
On Twitter, and he can get you hooked up. But I hope that answers that that mixed egg.
Yeah, and the goal with that obviously being that you would have kind of this weekly group where you would do a cue point a week, basically.
Right.
You would study it, discuss it, figure out, you know, what the practical, boots to ground kind of methodology is for you to implement those things into your life to become a more virtuous leader.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
All right. Now, that brings us to the topical
Stinger
section.
Stinger_F3.
Oh, thank you.
Just to clarify.
Dark Helmet with his incredible technology.
My Googling skills. Right. My Twittering. Yeah.
His Starbucky fingers quickly found that. It's Stinger_F3
yep.
on Twitter. And Stinger would be happy to respond to you. Though the help he gives you, I don't know. I think it would be good. But I know he'll respond.
It's Stinger. It'll be good.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we are now at the topical section.
Yes.
And today's topic is prayer.
Indeed.
So prayer is the daily discipline of talking with the Creator in order to build faith.
And so that we make sure that we're very clear, right? Whatever that means to you.
Yeah, right, because this is F3. So full disclosure, Dark Helmet and I are men who are adherents to the Christian faith belief system.
Yep.
But we believe that prayer could apply to anything.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any faith system.
Yeah, and a lot of that is has to do with sort of, again, this recognition of something larger than yourself, to which you recognize that goodness flows to you.
That's right.
Yeah, you didn't do this.
That's right.
Yeah.
So F3, in terms of F3ism, a jackass is a guy that believes he's king of the world.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing outside of himself. And having lived as a jackass for 42-ish years, right about 43 years, I can tell you that that's a lonely place to be.
Yeah.
You know, you end up constructing a rickety throne of toothpicks and Elmer's glue that is just waiting to fall down. And it's a good feeling when you finally pull that thing down and start living for others. I can personally attest to that. So please take what we're going to talk about in the vein that it is not applicable to any specific belief system, denomination, or anything, but just whatever it is that you look to.
Yeah.
That Frank and I may have our own worldviews, as you do, but F3 is a big place. It's plenty big enough for a guy who has a different belief system.
Yeah, we don't care.
All right, don't care.
Yeah.
Even if you're what we call a Bob Dylan spiritualist,
You
know, if you think the answer's blowing in the wind, you know, that's great.
Then by golly,
acknowledge
the wind.
Talk to the wind. All right, so there's essentially three reasons to do this. You know, what in Q-source terms we call the spur, which is just something, if you forget everything else you learned about prayer, and you find yourself in periods of a place of low visibility and high stress, which is where leadership really starts to take hold, then you try to remember these spurs to get you back to the right place. That's why we call it the spur, to spur you on to love and good deeds. Well, the first spur that is attributable to prayer is that prayer keeps you from being a jackass, right?
which is important.
That's right. Yeah. So we already defined what a jackass is, and if you've been praying to yourself or elevating yourself to a throne, idolizing yourself or whatever it is you think you want,
mm-hmm.
I guess my rhetorical question would be, how's that working for you?
Right, give them the Dr. Phil.
Yeah,
how's that working out for you?
How's that working out? Because I can tell you it didn't work out for me very well. How about you, DH?
No, I too have gone through the period of believing that I was the king of the world.
Sure.
And it was inadvertent. You know, you don't even see it coming sometimes. You think you're doing everything the right way or whatever. But it will never, ever, ever, ever work out well.
Right. And, you know, all human beings are born that way. A baby can't even fathom.
Yeah, that there's anything outside itself.
That's right. I mean, that's why if you play with a baby, hide behind your hand, it thinks you disappeared. It doesn't seem right. Doesn't have any.
That's one extreme.
Yeah, that's one extreme, right? And a teenage boy, which both Frank and I were both teenage boys, and I'm just guessing most
few years ago.
You're callow and feckless. You can you may be able to intellectually grasp the idea that other people are out there, but you don't really care.
Well, and the other thing is even if you acknowledge that they're out there, they're really only there to serve your purposes anyway. So who cares?
And maybe in your 20s, for the purpose of getting ahead, you embrace the idea of faking it.
Right.
You know, because you realize that that if anybody realizes it about you, it's not going to work. And throughout my 30s, I suppose I realized that jackassery just actually didn't work.
Yeah.
And it wasn't enough just to fake not being a jackass, that actually getting rid of the jackass aspect of it was critical. And that led me to prayer. I don't know about you.
So, yeah, exhibiting the behavior of a non-jackass,
right,
was not enough, because at some point it had to be sincere enough that other people recognized that you were actually caring about them.
And
as
it
well.
Only, whatever you're faking, whatever costume you're wearing, will only last as long as you hit the first obstacle. You know, when hardship and pain come in and chaos come in, you're going to rip that costume off and show people who you are. You know, adversity might make the man, but it also unmasks the man. It'll make transparent those things you'd like to hide behind. And really, when that mask is ripped off, I'd rather have who I really am be underneath, and have that person be somebody who's living third, has put his creator first and his fellow man second. And for me, that took a lot of prayer. Still takes a lot of prayer.
Every day.
Every day.
Yeah.
All right. That's spur number one. That's why it's a daily discipline.
Mm-hmm.
Spur number two to prayer is that it's the only way to answer the what. So the what is...
Yeah, you got to explain the what.
Yeah, those two questions that have bedeviled man since the moment he had a moment to think about them. And the first one is, what's going to happen when I die?
Mm-hmm. Right.
When my eyes close for the last time, is it all nothingness like the Sopranos, right? The end of the Sopranos? Am I going to meet my maker? Is my maker going to be... Jesus Christ or some form of Judeo-Christianity? Is my maker going to be whomever the Druids?
Yeah, whatever.
I don't really know. Or is this going to be the wind blowing like Bob Dylan? I don't know. But praying is the only way I've found to answer that. Now, for me, that question I've already alluded to, already revealed. For me, I believe that through prayer that's going to be Jesus. Now, if you believe otherwise, that's fine, but you got to pray to that.
Yeah,
you gotta pray to that.
And that's really the point, is whatever it is, you just got to be true to it.
True to it.
You can't fake that either.
That's the first what of the what. What's going to happen when I die? Now the second what to the what is, what does the answer to the first what imply about how I should live now?
Yeah.
Right. Because
what am I here for?
What am I here for now? If it's a Sopranos kind of what, I guess it don't matter. I mean, if it's just going to end, I might as well live my life. Gathering up power, money, and women like Beanie Babies.
As hedonistically as possible.
But it's funny, not even Tony Soprano seemed to be capable of doing that.
Well, he gathered a number of things, but he sure wasn't happy.
He sure wasn't happy about it because he wasn't happy. Quite sure.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's where prayer really makes its mark. I mean, if you won't do it, then you're not going to address it. And I suppose you can kind of sink into a lukewarm sea of self-denial, right?
Sure.
But once you start asking God questions, my belief, because it's based on my experience and what I've read, is he's going to give you some answers.
You're going to get some answers.
He's going to get some answers. And what I found in my personal experience was those answers were, I am watching.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to account to me. There's going to be a judgment seat, and you're going to have to account to me. And when you do that, the things you did while in the body, both good and bad, are going to be things that are going to be on the whiteboard. And how does that make me feel about how I should live? Well, I'll tell you this, it makes me live a lot more virtuously. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, DH.
No, I totally agree, because and while I don't know that I subscribe to an idea that there's some sort of, I got 7 good marks and 6 bad marks, so I win.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying it's a scoreboard.
No,
I know,
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
So, and I wasn't saying that you were saying that. I'm just saying that, regardless of how you look at that, for me, it very much has everything to do with the character that I am developing while I am here. And I believe that that is what drives, when you hit the end, whatever character you developed here is what you're going to take with you. You ain't taking the rest of the stuff with you.
I agree, man.
I agree. But you yourself, the you inside of you, is what you take with you.
Absolutely
true. That exists on. So whoever you became is whoever you're going to be.
Right. All right.
If you're a jackass here.
Jackass here, baby. So that first spur for prayer is keeps you from being a jackass. Second one answers the questions, gives you answers to the what. So, you know, you can get some kind of idea what's going on out there in the super unknown, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, third spur is it is the antidote to anxiety. At least I found that to be true. Now, here's how I'm using anxiety in what I just said. Worry in itself is not necessarily bad. In fact, worrying about, you know, your final, worrying about having enough money to pay the mortgage, these are kind of God's way of telling us.
Right. Here's, you got to do something.
Yeah. It's like fear.
Right.
You know, I don't really like fear, but it's kept me alive all these years. Right. Now, giving into it makes me a coward. Ignoring it makes me insane. So as we talk about courage in F3, would you say it's setting aside fear to turn hardship into grace?
Yeah.
Not that you don't have it. It's just that...
Just as you act anyway.
Through discipline, you learn to overcome it for the betterment of those you love. Now, that takes us to back to worry. It's not wrong to worry if you have a focal point about your worry. Worrying about your mortgage, if you're having trouble making money, that makes perfect sense. You better get out and work
there. That worry ought to drive you to do something.
Anxiety, as we're using the term, is something slightly different. It means it has no focal point.
It's just a generalized...
Generalized...
Unsettledness.
Feeling of unsettledness. Yeah. I don't know why, right? You know what? We all suffer from that. We call that an F3. It's the flux. It's that emotional reaction that you have back and forth. Some days you're up, some days you're down. It's kind of how we're made, right? So that is somewhat irrational. And the only way to deal with that, and that's the third spur, is to pray.
Yeah.
I mean, you can ignore it, doesn't work. You can try to fight it yourself. You can find yourself kind of lonely. You can get a friend to help you, and that's good. But really, we believe you're never really going to get there until you try to take it off your back and throw it onto something else, and that's where prayer starts.
Well, and unfortunately, even your best of friends can only take so much.
That's right.
Right. And so until you're willing to dig all the way in and relinquish that control and to submit that piece of you to being third.
Right. That's
then,
right.
Then you ain't going
to
get there.
Right. And again, you know, that could be to Christ. That could be to the Stonehenge.
I mean, I'll tell you, I think it could even look as simple as a meditation, you know, at different points
or
whatever it is, you know, to center yourself and just acknowledge that, you know, again, whatever it is,
right,
it's larger than you, that it flows from somewhere else, and that you ain't it.
Right. Exactly. Now, and everybody who does this, from our experience, has it as a discipline in the same way that the king is the daily discipline of physically training your body.
Mm-hmm.
Prayer is the daily discipline of talking with your creator. So in the same, you have to have the same sort of habit formed dedication to it, because maybe you'll give me a different answer, Dark Helmet, but I'd say maybe 10% of the time I wake up wanting to do it, maybe 10% of the time or 20% of the time I wake up not wanting to do it, and in the middle ground somewhere I'm like, I'm ambivalent, because I don't think it's easy.
It is not.
It is not easy.
Even just the act of even if you had just a rote, you know, set of words that you said, just remembering to do it amongst everything else is difficult enough.
Time to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And I actually have kind of a rote thing. It's not rote, but I have a structure. I have guardrails to it. But one of the things is part of it is I'd go through the aspects of the previous day and say, how did I do there?
Right.
And, you know, a lot of times that answer is you lost control of your temper, gave in to anger, you used words improperly. You had thoughts around, you know, it's not good things, right? Or it's things that I did that I am confronted with in the day before.
That made you less than virtuous.
Made me less than virtuous. Yeah. And so I'm submitting myself to accountability in a sense through prayer. And I don't wake up every morning really wanting to do that.
Sometimes it hurts.
Oftentimes it hurts. Yeah. So that's what makes it difficult, in the same way that daily discipline of physical training hurts. You go out to the workout, and you know that you're going to be...
You're going to get your...
Breathing hard.
Kicked around.
Kicked around a little bit, and you don't want to do it. But if you don't do it, you decelerate.
And that's the real problem.
That's the real problem. Now, every once in a while, at least in my life, I lose the daily discipline of prayer. In the same way, every once in a while, I find myself having a day or 2 days, you know, first day of fart sack, smart sack, whatever I say.
You can call it whatever you want. Days. Yeah.
You know, I have my times like anybody else. Yeah. Or I have my times where I say, well, what, one peanut M&M, you know, turns into 50, whatever. I mean, we all do, right?
I don't know what they put in those things.
That's right. But not too distant past, last month, as a matter of fact, I lost my prayer habit for about a week. Just got distracted with other things.
Busy, tired, any number of things.
All kind of not good, but justifiable reasons for it. And it only took about a week for me to see changes in my behavior.
That is, and that's what I hate the most about. Like, good habits take forever.
Forever.
And it's strain and it's hard to make them and have them stick right. And all that kind of stuff. Bad habits, man, boom. All you got to do is turn one switch right. off and then you can just be a fat, right. lazy piece sure. of green. You know, it doesn't matter. Right.
And in the same way, I know pretty quickly when I lose control of my queen, my pants get tighter. You yep. know, I start, it happens very quickly for me. That's a weird little blessing I have. For me, when I lose my prayer habit, I very quickly lose my ability to control my temper.
Mm.
I mean, it's yeah. almost a dead giveaway.
So the gesture comes very fast.
You know, when I stop praying, I make demons sing. I mean, I
yeah.
open myself up to it.
Yeah.
And I'll lose my temper, smallish in a couple ways, you know, and I, you know, maybe little things, and usually leads to fight with my wife, or I say things to my wife I immediately regret, and she's quick to say, "Are you praying?"
Because
she's seen it.
Yeah,
and she knows.
Yeah,
she knows both. She knows pre 43 and post 43, you know, and post 43 is far better for us.
Yeah,
for both of us, for my family, and for everyone else, and that quickly gets me back because I guess I could lie, but I usually just tell the truth and say, you know, I've been overcome by events. And she's like, well, you better change your schedule back to where you were, because the way you're acting now is going to get nothing but worse. And it is true.
And she's right. Yeah,
it is very true. And that's part of accountability, right? That's part of what we call an F3 relational rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know as you do as well, Dark Helmet, I've got a lot of people very close around me, my Concentrica, who notice very small changes in my behavior or attitude quickly.
Yeah, and I was going to say, and I'm always amazed too, because even if I feel like I'm faking it pretty good,
right?
These guys, they know. They
right.
know.
That's right.
Like,
you can't fake it.
No, you can't. You just can't.
You can fake yourself better than you can fake.
Oh, way better.
Somebody with you. And, you know, that is just a guardrail, a daily habit, a discipline that you can build, you can constantly build mm-hmm. to make stronger. So that you'll be protected in those periods of flux when hardship comes, when chaos and pain enter in.
Yeah.
You know, for me, it's a bulwark to have that there. It's a guardrail that keeps me on track and so that I can continue to accelerate when the obstacles are in the road.
Yeah. And for me, you know, I find often that I try and do it two times, right? So I try and start a day that way. Right.
Right.
And then I end the day that way.
Oh, that's great.
You know,
that's great.
So you kind of ask for help to get through the day, and then you kind of review at the end to say, okay, this is the deal. And actually, we do it as a family as well.
Well, right? I want to address both of
us. I was going to ask. Okay.
Yeah, I want to address both of us.
Good.
First one is time. And I learned from a monk in Gastonia. It's funny, his name is Monk, but for this very reason. But he was talking to me about the monastic prayer system, which had like six different times, and for a period I tried three different periods based on that. One was matins, it's French for morning, but matins, like it's basically dawn, you know, mm-hmm. pre-dawn. The second one was sext, sext, and that was about lunchtime.
Okay.
And then the final one was compline, that's three of the six, and that was in the evening. And I divided up my prayer groupings into thirds, and I did them that way, and it didn't work for me. And the reason is I'm often incapable of pulling back from the day at noon.
Yeah.
I just can't do it. You know, if I was living in a monastery, you know, the bell would ring.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. There's an yeah.
I guess, you know, I recently read a book, a novel about a monastic. It was living. And they you know, the bell rings and they all go do it, right?
Right.
Right. So you don't have any choice, really, to do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, the way we live our lives, you may or may not be able to do it.
I want to say, especially when, you know, for yourself and my, you know, guys who are a little bit at the mercy of other people's schedules,
yeah,
you know, sure. to some degree, because we set a meeting
because we're serving
know, clients and yeah, and that sure. kind of thing. So you kind of have to,
right.
so it becomes very difficult right. to do. Yeah.
I also found in the evening, I was blowing off the complaint part because I just don't have enough self-discipline toward it. I'm tired.
Sure.
You know, I'm wanting to go to sleep and, so the problem was, for a while, I was only like praying on a third,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the other two, I wasn't really getting that done. But I say that as an example. Figure out what works for you.
That's right, yeah.
Right? Do it. strengthen that, experiment with something, because I like the idea when Monk gave it to me. I just couldn't make it work for me.
Right.
And don't be afraid to experiment, but recognize when it's not working.
If it ain't working.
It doesn't matter when you do it, as long as when you do it is the best for you.
Yeah.
I think that's the takeaway of number one.
Agreed.
Number two, you asked about group
as
opposed to individualized prayer. So here's my feeling on that. You pray with maybe guys you're in Bible study or your Shulak, whatever, like, or with your family, ideally, that's great.
Yeah.
I wish I did more of it in my family. I admire you for having that. Actually, you've inspired me to try to get back to it a little bit. But that's not a replacement for individualized prayer.
No, and it's easy to treat it that way.
Yeah, it sure
is. If you're
not
careful.
Right.
Because you can sort of, subject the responsibility, what am I looking for? Pass off the responsibility on say, oh, but I mean, I just did. I just prayed.
You know, some things you can side source. Like you could say, I'm not even ever going to work out by myself or run by myself. Just go to a workout.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to do that.
Yeah, but prayer, to me, it's two separate things. You have to have your own period of solitude. And that's what I call it. So one of the first things I thank God for providing solitude.
Mm-hmm.
And there's if you're working with the Christian Bible, there's a lot of passages about Christ going off by himself.
Yeah, into the top of the mountain.
Back out of the crowds, or pulling the disciples out of the crowd so they could have some time away. And kind of what struck me when I read that was, gosh, if God needs it.
Right?
If Jesus couldn't pray.
Right.
And there's one passage, I wish I could remember where it was specifically, that said that, maybe it's actually a note I read about it that just said, particularly at times where he had big decisions to make, like the night before he called his disciples.
Right.
He went off by himself and prayed all night about it.
Yeah.
So that he would, you know, you kind of get the feeling when you read the Bible, you're like, oh, he walked out and said, hey, Simon.
I know.
I like
you. Hey, here's some fishermen. Let's go.
Yeah. I need a tax guy. Right. You know, so, but that's apparently not the way it was, right?
Not so much.
Not the way it was.
Yeah.
So, this kind of idea of solitude, going off to a, you know, finding a room.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another reason for me, 5 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning is when I do it, you know.
First, yeah.
Out of the chute,
man. If it's easier if you do it as soon as you roll out of bed. I'll say, because I noticed when I tried, I had been in a really good discipline of it. Then I got married, and then somehow it became weird for me. Just me personally, right? It became weird to do it in front of my wife. Just didn't. I got uncomfortable, and so rather than be smart and find some place to do it where I was alone,
right?
I just kind of stopped for a while.
Sure,
you know, sort of fell off as a habit. And then I realized, you know, this isn't working really well. So now I have to, you know, you do.
Right.
And it's a grind, man. I mean, sometimes you're just like you were saying, like you wake up and you go,
I
don't even know. I don't have anything to say.
I think a lot of the guys I've spoken to in a Whetstone setting have told me that they feel conflicted by the idea of prayer being on one hand so important, and on the other hand, being something they just don't want to do. It's like, why? Like, if it doesn't feel right. Like, why?
That's interesting.
If it's something so important, so good,
yeah.
Why is it so onerous? And my response to that is, first of all, A, on one level, I'm not really sure.
Sure.
But I know it's necessary.
Right.
You know?
Well, look, hey, you run, you know?
Yeah.
That wasn't fun.
Sure, but you know, sometimes people get a runner's high, you know, whatever. You're not a runner.
I don't know those people.
Yeah, right. No, I actually do get that way when I run.
Yeah.
You know, not all the time, but sometimes.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it really a high. I would just wear actually periods where nothing hurts, I suppose, you know.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel horrible, right? I guess it's a comparative high or something like that.
With a bar that low.
That's right. Yeah. But that's one of the reasons why I have a guardrail for it, you know, a system for it.
Yeah.
So that, you know, I'm not leaving it to my own devices to keep going, you know, so I know,
right.
You know, it takes me about 15 minutes to go through it, and the structure of it, you know, I get halfway through sometimes and, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm a horrible person, you know, but I keep going, right?
Yeah.
You know, keep going. Because at the end of it, it always, maybe not in that moment, but always works.
Yeah.
It always delivers. And I, you know, I know that that's going to be so. So I just kind of stick it out. Same way you feel in a workout, halfway through a workout,
right.
You think you can throw up, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but you get to the end.
Yeah, especially in the hour-long workouts.
Yeah, right.
You know, and you get the, and you go, man, this is dumb. You know, why am
right,
I, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, I guess my biggest point that I would sell if I was trying to sell the idea of prayer, which I guess I am right now here, is I just can attest to you that it works. I'm like,
yeah.
I'm like Billy Mays going, you know, I spilled axle grease on my own white tuxedo, but OxyClean got it out. You know, the axle grease of my own jackass life I spilled on my own body, and prayer got it out.
And I really want to do a Billy Mays impression right here, but I won't.
It's tough.
It's
and
very
God bless
loud.
His soul, because Billy's gone now.
May he rest in peace.
But he was a great salesman. Was,
man, I tell you.
And OxyClean
does. You could hug some OxyClean.
Right. So maybe, you know, prayer, to some extent, prayer is the OxyClean of the soul. You know, I mean, it really does work. And I don't know if Billy really did spill axle grease on his white tuxedo, but I really did spill axle grease on myself.
Right.
And I
do it constantly.
Do it constantly still. But I don't know of a better cleansing agent. That would be my way of trying to sell it. So I would say, if you haven't done it, the other thing that a lot of whetstone guys have told me, and this was true for me as well at the outset, probably the last thing I'll say about it, is don't worry if you fall asleep when you're doing it.
Huh.
I did.
I always feel guilty.
Yeah, everybody does. When I first started praying, I'd always fall asleep. And I wake up and go, oh my gosh, I feel so bad, you know? Yeah. And a lot of guys have told me that.
I don't have enough regard for
ultimately, I stopped falling asleep. I don't fall asleep anymore after maybe about 5 years of it.
Yeah.
And I think initially you fall asleep when you pray in the same way initially you might throw up when you work out, or you might lose your breath and not be able to, not be able to talk. You know, the first few years that I began working out seriously in the military, first year or so, I mean, I would get that way. Yeah. After some point in time, I got toughened to it, hardened to it enough that I not only would not throw up or something like that, I would maintain enough breath that I could actually lead it.
Sure.
But that took time.
Exactly.
To develop durability. And I think in the same way you develop durability with prayer, I don't know what forces are trying to make you fall asleep. Maybe some of them are good. Maybe it's like to give you rest or respite or whatever. Maybe it's bad forces that are trying to make you feel bad. But the point of, at the end of the day, if you keep at it, and you're rigorous about it, and you accept the fact that there might be some, narcolepsy. You know, you're going to get through that to the other side. Trust me, you will.
Yeah,
it did for me. And then, but I think in the interim, if you are once in a while falling asleep, don't let that be an impediment.
No, I think that's a good point to make. And as you look at all of this, and again, we're just to not again to belabor the point or whatever, but it doesn't matter how you do it entirely.
Right.
There's no set of words. There's no set of position or whatever you got to do or be in or whatever. The point of all this, to a large degree, is again continuing to develop a daily discipline.
Right.
That builds bricks.
That's right.
Gives you bricks.
Bricklay that.
Yeah.
Right.
Bricklay it.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, and through prayer, I mean, it's helped me. I can see the path ahead of me.
Yeah.
I know some guys can't, you know, and I know that while I'm about to be free, they might fall in the water, and I might hear a tiny cry as the ship goes sailing by. I just got to turn the boat back around and help.
Here we are.
You know what, Frank?
you got to
face the radio.
Dread. I don't know how many times I have to tell you. This is a podcast.
Wow, right on time.
Man. Thanks for listening to 43 Feet, a leadership podcast. If you have questions about leadership, F3, or anything else, write us at questions@43feetpodcast.com. Tweet us at 43 Feet Podcast, or send a carrier pigeon to 43 Feet, 1415 South Church Street, Suite B, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28203. Until next time, we'll be here in the unknown, the uncomfortable, the difficult, the 43 Feet out front. I see the path ahead of me. In a minute I'll be free, and you'll be splashing in the sea. We'll hear a tiny cry as the ship goes sliding by.